serve over 35 years in vocational ministry. He's a pastor, he's a leader, he's been sought after for mentor, and he's been in conference leadership and a very long conference president. And I know our hearts have been filled with the God that he's given him a message to share with them. I would like to say thank you to all those who have joined us today, particularly those who have volunteered. We have great sites all around our conference, and so many have done incredibly creative things to engage children and bring others to come and bring children students together. Our media team that have worked tirelessly around the clock to ensure that we all receive the blessing of hearing the voice of God to each presentation. And so we pray that today God will bless you. We have the privilege of recording engagements in the UK and work with really effective retirement. Sing along, read the words, open your hearts to experience God and worship. And I wish it for Father to do that. May God richly bless you and have a wonderful day.
I don't know if it's time over your experience with a film or not. The last day, can you believe it? God is learning another popular, wonderful message tonight by Pastor John Bradshaw. I've just been so grateful for the power of the Holy Spirit all week. Another wonderful worship we've had this morning is there's nothing like worshiping God together. And for those of you in all of your local church settings, I want to say forever, you can be worshiping God in your church home again. It's a privilege to be able to share with you God's word today. And I want to take one more time to ask God's Spirit to be with us in this. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're just so grateful that you are in our midst. And wherever we are, because we are gathered this way, or in person in different locales, your presence is with us. Lord, we ask that as we open your word now, as we consider what your Spirit is placed upon our heart, that God would open up each of our hearts to be able to experience Jesus with us. And then we pray, amen. The engines followed up on either side of the massive body of the aircraft with a thunderous rumbling, feeling like an earthquake that seemed to rattle the bones of anyone nearby. The airship was loaded with supplies and ready for the mission. Everyone aboard was excited, anticipating a successful adventure. The engines roared to a deafening RPM, and the airship rose slowly at first, then more quickly as it gained altitude. The details on the ground gave way to landscape patterns of patchwork fields, orchards, hills. Before long, countryside gave way to suburban communities of houses and busy roadways with commuters. City high-rises surrounded by webs of pedestrian and van traffic to bring to an interview. People like him screaming about unaware of the mission overhead. And then the operation leader commands, "Open the hatch!" A large cargo door runs at the rear of the airship, open with a blast of cold air and wind pulling the inside of the cargo door. Everyone rushed around, briefing the staff that had been securing the huge containers that held the precious cargo prepared for delivery. Most of them done, everyone stood aside as the floor that they were on began to rise on hydraulic. The containers slid down the ramp through the opening, and these huge containers plummeted toward the ground. Large, colorful parachutes opened, but if they did, it opened the containers in such a way that many thousands of leaflets were released from each payload. What an exhilarating sight it was to behold. The sky was filled with gracefully floating white leaflets, gently pirouetting for the people below. People stopped where they were walking and where they were driving, and then they looked to the sky to behold this incredible spectacle. Their faces were filled with wonder and bewilderment as the leaflets fell within reach. People reached out and grabbed them and grasped them, and curiously they began to scan the leaflets. Every leaflet had the same message on it. It's all about Jesus. Some people smiled and very united. Some looked confused. Some shook their head with fair bow. Some stuffed the leaflet into a pocket or a bag. Some hunkered it and threw it to the ground. And some ignored it all as it, and nothing unusual is even happening around them. But for everyone, the meaning on that leaflet is without context. It literally was just an idea that fell from the sky. What do you mean? Who was this Jesus anyway? What did it matter? Why did they receive this message? How did it fit into their lives? Meanwhile, high above the masses, those on the earth were cheered and they high-fived each other as they were bumping back into their feet and right back to the sphere of the homogeneous community. And they felt a sense of pride and accomplishment in sharing Jesus with others. This is a revised band version of an old black and white witnessing video that employed sarcasm along the same lines entitled The Gospel Band. But of course, this parable is full of sarcasm. It would be difficult to draw any legitimate comparison between the modality of sharing Jesus employed in his parable with those that were embodied in the scriptures themselves. Jesus' ministry was an incarnation or mission. This was forecasted being one of the names that he would be called. Way back in the time of the prophet Isaiah, he wrote in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, "The Lord himself will give you a sign. Look, the virgin will conceive a child, and she will give birth to a son, and will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us." This prophecy in Isaiah was fulfilled in Matthew chapter 1, verse 23, when it was the announcement of Jesus' pending birth when the heavenly Lord proclaimed, "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us." Jesus, the very Son of God, the second person of the Trinity, was the incarnation of God, the bodily, personal manifestation of God, came to be with humans. Jesus grew in the womb of a woman, was birthed in a stable, delivered by his foster father, worshipped by shepherds and foreign dignitaries, raised in a village, mingling with ordinary people, living ordinary lives, working with his foster dad and the family partners of God. God's ultimate mission of sharing Jesus and his message with men was not some divine stone tablet or papyrus dropped from the sky. It was God's plan himself, being present with humans. God becoming human. This is a shocking, inconceivable development. It's just not what a being as lofty and otherly as the eternal divine creator wants to become one with his own new creation. And that is precisely what he does. And this is what is most difficult for the religious leaders of Jesus' day to accept about Jesus. I mean, from their confusion and denial of his incarnational identity, flows their accusations of blasphemy, which means a person doing the unthinkable of claiming to be God. Only it is true. Jesus is God. And yet he grows up among, lives with, continues, walks alongside fellow humans. So it makes sense that sharing Jesus is not merely a matter of sharing about Jesus. Though there is much to share about Jesus, in fact, so much to be shared about Jesus, that the Gospel of John, chapter 21, verse 25 says, "The whole world could not contain the books that would be written." Sharing Jesus is more than information about Jesus in his coming. There is such information is incredibly crucial and only needs to be shared. But sharing Jesus is more. There's a mystery that is the secret to effectively sharing Jesus. And we find this in the Apostle Paul's letter to Jesus' faithful believers in the city of Colossae. Paul begins the letter by telling them how much he appreciates them and praises God in his prayers for them. And then notice what Paul writes in Colossians chapter 1, beginning verse 13. "For God has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his dear Son, who purchased our freedom and forgave our sins." A heritage continues, we are kept secret for centuries and generations past, but now it has been revealed to God's people. Daniel verse 27, this is the key verse. So God wanted them to know that the riches and the glory of Christ are for you Gentiles. In other words, you people who didn't know God ahead of time, it's for you too. And this is what he's going to say. And this is his secret. The secret. It is, ready for it? Christ lives in you. And finally, he concludes. This gives the appearance of sharing his prayer. The believer can say also restoring Jesus by teaching and living for Jesus. In fact, it goes a step further. The person of Jesus Christ, according to Paul, is alive and present in them through the Holy Spirit. But exactly what this looks like, what does it mean? Recently, I was visiting with my son in law, who is married to my oldest daughter. And at the 2017 family message, I shared the story of how Fred came from a non-Baptist and Catholic family back then. He was not actively religious and had little knowledge of God's word or Jesus for that matter. I shared how, as he said, God just kicked down the door, quote, of his heart and came directly into his life. And it wasn't really the first piece of his verse. It was just that he didn't really know how to unlock the door of his heart for God. But God knew that he was ready for him. After giving Paul an interview study Bible and studying together, he tied with some teaching Bible study guides, a few weeks after that meeting in sermon, I had the wonderful privilege of baptizing him, who would soon become my son-in-law. And I witnessed the amazing transformation that Jesus was brought to Christ's life. Christ loved God's day. He read the Bible and religious books voraciously. He even began to self-learn biblical Greek. He served Jesus with others and even his parents and his family via technology and long distance. But the other day, I said to him, "You know what made the biggest impact in opening a new act of Jesus?" And I was kind of excited about it. And he shared that it wasn't so much what we said about Jesus and our family and what we read together from his word when we studied. It wasn't even our prayers that he heard us pray as a family. It was that he actually experienced Jesus in us. That's the secret that Paul shared in Colossians chapter 1, verse 27. And Paul said, "This is the secret. Christ lives in Jesus." Paul referenced in his prayer of thanksgiving for the cross and followers of Jesus. Their lives were being transformed by the indwelling presence and power of Jesus in their lives. Paul concluded this opening chapter in verse 21 and saying that it's Christ's mighty power that lives within you. And we say it's all about Jesus. And we need it. Because Jesus meant it. All the disciples meant it. Paul meant it. And Christ meant it. It's important to study God's word, to learn about Jesus and his things in your life. It's important to pray and to talk to him continually. It's important to listen to his questions and act on them accordingly. It's simple to live a life of surrender to Jesus and his direction. But make no mistake about it. If you do all of these things, it isn't very pretty to hear our brokenness and empowers us to live differently. It is the actual living presence and power of the person of Jesus in our life that transforms our lives. Jesus, not his message, is the healer. Jesus, and that is how true the practice is the transforming power. Jesus himself, not our modalities of sin, is the one who brings others to the church. Jesus said, "When I am lifted up, I will draw everyone to myself." John 12, verse 32. So many times in my life, people have verbalized this truth back to me. It Thank you. a lot of times that we invited other people outside of our church to participate. And that position of need is not necessarily what we're doing, but just being curious on how that works. We do what we call parties in the park, just for September, the last day. We would go to different community parks to do kids' fun days for the neighborhood and bringing games, having kids' stories, serving a free picnic food, having a bouncy house, you know, where a bouncy house is a bouncy one, and having small air booth type games, and giving a story that is Bible and moral stories to Jesus. The truth is, none of that stuff was really the point. The point was that people would spend several hours with us, and before long they would begin to ask, what do you think about you people? People would say something different. We have a joy and a friendliness that in a bigger rock city that isn't normal. We would say, oh, that's Jesus in us. That's what he's like, and we just see that. And we'd say, I think we do. A social gathering for anything, every season, birthdays, anniversaries, to Mother's Day or Father's Day, parties or events or activities, anything we can do to spend time together and invite our irreligious friends and guests and families to join. After all, we don't like a party. And so they do. And they really like Jesus and the Gospels. But in the third time, they would begin to ask the same kind of questions. And many times I would hear someone ask me and say, you're part of the church, right? Yeah. And then he'd say, so, if your question is going to be more than a month ago, you people all seem to really like each other. I thought church people didn't like each other, didn't go wrong. And if you love your family and Jesus is with us and he likes and loves everyone, so do we. I need that, they would say. But it allows a new journey for them being discipled and discovering Jesus and learning to follow him. They are great to love to do each and every business together. They realize every member who wants had to invite a guest to come along. But if those guests come over with us, saw our interactions with each other, and the love and the respect that we have for one another, the fun that we have with each other, both the way that we play together, the way we mutually serve each other, the connection with which we stand to ourselves, the truth, and the things members happen to just get in their heart, and the story, these guests experienced Christ in us. Without being overtly religious, we would form Jesus, the person and presence and power of Jesus. After a whole weekend with us, guests were asking questions about knowing Jesus better, joining us for other activities, doing some service activities with us in the community that we had talked about, beginning to attend church services. And this led to a deeper desire for knowing Jesus and discovering for them through Bible studies and seminars and retreats and Sabbath morning classes and special events and worship services, all ways people could experience Jesus. Every spring and fall, we had a public Sabbath group. They would share the Advent series with all night called the Prayers of Adventism, about 10 to 14 messages in a series. And each meeting, we would invite those people who had been joining the meeting to make a decision to become a Seventh-day Adventist follower of Jesus, which many already had been experiencing before they made the decision. And so most made that decision. If I take my celebration, I never think it. They were a Sabbath afternoon affair with passionate worship, a brief message on the meaning of baptism for all the friends and family guests who had come who were invited to the day of understanding what they were living for. And we'd have a reception with balloons and gifts and food and families and fellowship. Another opportunity for others to experience the Jesus whose presence is in each of us as his followers. And even more of those guests would be drawn to Jesus as they would experience him in our lives as they celebrated with us. That's what's really from 16 to 100. Most of those people had not been engaged with church before. The majority became first-time followers of Jesus and Pentecostal as Christians. And a radically diverse group of different backgrounds, socially, politically, economically, racially, religiously, get drawn together in true unity to feel the presence and the power of Jesus among them. All because Jesus is the most beautiful and attractive person that anyone will ever meet. From whom flows unlimited love and care and healing and goodness and joy. People are longing to meet this Jesus, even if they don't know it. We who are Jesus' followers and whom His presence is dwelling, continue to keep fostering our relationship with Jesus, and then live our lives alongside others, invite them to spend time being unified together, and then let them experience His presence through us. And many will be drawn to know, love, and serve Him. And then they too will be drawn to Jesus. This is not complex. It does, however, require commitment to Jesus and to others. But when you are knowing, loving, and serving Jesus and others, then you will automatically be sharing Jesus with others. That's the not-so-secret that Paul refers to and that Jesus calls us to. Are you willing to do life with Jesus together with others? As we launch out of a difficult past year that separated people and all levels of their lives, this is a time that calls for connecting intentionally in each home, in each neighborhood, in each church, in each school, in each ministry, across this whole old and complex territory. As we do this, we will see Jesus in us begin to do more than we ever dreamed He would do for us. Many thousands will be drawn to Jesus and become followers with us, experiencing the transformational presence and power in their lives. That is the secret. This is a secret to sharing Jesus. Look for what Jesus wrote. Spread from one to another to another until it touches a multitude of people who experience sharing Jesus with them. As Paul says in prayer, I invite you just to get in touch with the Jesus who is in you because He promised to live with you. Okay. Heavenly Father, thank you that you've done the unthinkable. And when your son Jesus went back to heaven from earth, he sent the promised Holy Spirit to dwell within his followers and bring the very presence of Jesus into our lives. Lord, we pray that we will simply live our lives intentionally with other people so they can experience Jesus in us, so that we are naturally and intentionally sharing Jesus with others. So I pray, Lord, for any glory of our own, that we may glory alone.